And good Saturday morning on which promises to be a very busy program this morning. First thing in order, I want to wish good luck to the contestants who are fishing in today's Lafayette Kayak Club's Cajun Castaway Tournament. You can congratulate the winners. 3 o'clock, the weigh-in's going to be at Crying Eagle Brewery in Lake Charles. And we'll talk more about that tournament with Eric Mohabarak, our paddling reporter. Also got some really big news for you Louisiana red snapper anglers. 7-day-a-week fishing returns this Monday. I'll have the latest quota harvest numbers for you and take a guess at how long it may last. Want to get out and catch some summertime sockeye? Well, Blaine Salter, our freshwater field reporter, has sent me a report on a hot spot, but you may be surprised by the technique that you should use. Also, if you're going to be cleaning out your freezer for the hunting season this weekend, well, it marks the beginning of the Hunters for the Hungry's frozen game and seafood collection program called Clean Out Your Freezer Day. It's where I'll be tomorrow, and I'll run down the schedule to help you find the closest location near you where you can make a donation of your frozen game and seafood. You heard Julie Grunewald was on with us last week, the director, and it's badly needed, and it goes for a great cause. It's a win-win-win program. Well, this past Wednesday, a Grand Isle fisherman received a gift on behalf of Raising Cane's CEO Todd Graves, the Louisiana chapter of the Coastal Conservation Association and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Our Bayou Wild TV team was there to document it for a future episode, and I'll tell you more about the creation of the Hotel Cid Fishing Reef. We'll do that with Darrell Carpenter. He and I fished it a few times and had a couple of really good trips there. And also, we had a picture of some of the participants on my Facebook page asking who could you identify. And some of you knew them all, some knew few, some knew none. We'll tell you who they are. And speaking of Grand Isle, well, that's where the crime scene, where this week's greedy bad boy, the outdoors, was busted. He was in possession of 466 fish. Also had a snapshot of that on Facebook. You might want to check it out on my Facebook page and take a look at what 466 fish laid out on a dock by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement looks like. Also, we have a special guest appearing this morning. That'll be Sam Hopper, the director of the CCA Star Tournament, for an update. The fourth tagged redfish by a registered angler has been caught. And he'll tell you there's still time to get out, and maybe you might catch the fifth and cash in on some big prizes. Also, some other opportunities to place in that tournament. We also have the Coastal Marine Forecast coming up for you, but I want to remind you, if you've had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include it with your comments and your questions and reports from our professional captains. You can do that by texting us. Send us your message. Comes real time here to St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex, that is, this week. And it's at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Your reports, your fishing reports, questions, and comments. If you're headed out today, well, yeah, you got to be careful of the heat. This has been the hottest time of the year. Looking for offshore, not bad at all. East winds, only 5 to 10, about 2 to 3 foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. Kind of a switching around. It's going to start off southwest, later become southeast. Only at 5 knots, some smooth conditions there. Good day to get out to those exterior bays and lakes that are, you know, basically just inside the Gulf of Mexico. Should be some calm conditions for the boaters. Tomorrow, offshore west to southwesterly winds, about 5 knots, 2-foot seas, still very fishable. And on the inside, not the west, that's not the one I like the best, but only 5 knots in smooth conditions. And a great tide range, 1.9 foot. Mississippi River, 4.1, low, even got a little bit of saltwater intrusion, the saltwater wedge coming up near Boothville. And rain outlook, about 20% today, 40% tomorrow on the increase. And I tell you what, rain would be welcome this time of the year. All right, we'll be back to kick it all off. Robbie Campos, our target. He's at Shell Beach down there at Campos Marina. You'll hear from him next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And we start off our Saturday mornings at Shell Beach at Campos Marina, and we talk to this guy, Robbie Campo. Robbie, been hot, but pretty fishable this week. How'd things go?
Well, I tell you, Don, the sound was rough. Breton Sound, Chandelier Sound, this past week was rough. And I don't mean from not catching fish. It was rough from the wind blowing out there. I had guys come in and told me there was 3-4 footers out there. So that made fishing conditions kind of tough But the guys that did pound their way out to the islands and got on the lee side of the Breton Island and Chandelier and Curlew, and they did pretty good. So if you want to take that whipping to get out there, I mean, it's on you. But it's supposed to be, you know, I looked at the forecast, Don, and it's supposed to be light winds out of the southeast for Saturday and Sunday. But I'm, and here it's dead calm. So, I mean, there's not a breath of wind here. So hopefully it stays that way, you know, out in the sound for these guys today so they can get out there and get on some fish. Now, I tell you, the long rocks did save a bunch of them's butt this week because, they, you know, they were out there and it was rough and they wound up fishing the long rocks. And there was a lot of pick-throughs now, but they wound up getting their limits fishing on the long rocks. So you have that. And I had some guys go over on the Delacro side over the Ward Iron Banks and Stone Island yesterday and did okay over there. So, you know, that side there is turning on better every week. So, you know, this river going low, so that's getting better over there all the time. So you have options, Don. Plenty of white trout being caught over in Christmas Camp over the Oyster Reefs in Morgan Harbor over there. So they have that to do. I mean, if you can't get out, Comfort Island, the same thing. It was lots of white trout, big white trout, nice white trout, you know, 13, 14 inch, white trout. That's good fish. So, you have that you could go do. So, I mean, it's up to you, Don, or whatever, you know, whatever somebody's got on their mind to go do today. We got live bait in the tanks. All you got to do is hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us.
What were the reports from the guys on the sound? Were they catching deep on live bait? Were they using the plugs? What was the technique?
Well, it was kind of half and half. It was live bait and plastics. Worked pretty good over this week, Don, over by Breton Island. But I tell you, you know, it was just getting out there. It was really rough. So, I mean, you know, a lot of guys turned around and came back and fished the long rocks and, you know, and went up, you know, Mozambique and fished, I would say places that's, you know, wasn't so rough. So, but the guys that brave that went out there did really well. And it was really nice trout too. I'm talking like, you know, anywhere from, you know, from 15 to 19 inch fish. It was all good fish. So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, you're going to go out there. If it is rough today and you pound your way out there, you will catch some fish by the islands. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just got to remind people that are fishing out there, only two over 20 inch, because you're liable to run into a lot of 20 plus inch fish over that way.
Yeah, well, that's you know, we talk about this every week, Don. You know, we don't make the rules, we just abide by them. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things that screwed up in this world, and unfortunately, that's one of them. But you and I don't make the law; we just got to go with it.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story about regulations. You know, we got the new no bull redfish keeping, and I was down to Grand Isle this week, and we were documenting the creation of an artificial reef down there. And there were a lot of wildlife and fishery people. In fact, there was about five or six agents that accompanied us down there. And we came back to the marina, and as I was pulling out, a guy came up to me and he said, "Listen," he says, "you think anybody over there at the marina has a scale?" He said, "My buddy's got a redfish he wants to weigh. He thinks it's about 45 pounds. And I told him, I said, "Well, if they don't have a scale, I mean, you just take the measurements and there's a chart, you know." And then, you know, we drove. And then I got to thinking, you know, he probably don't have this fish alive to release. And he's walking over there in a nest of agents wanting to ask around for a scale to weigh a 45-pound redfish. So I never
That's
did get
like
how that story ended
horse,
up. Yeah, he was walking into the den of death right there.
Yeah, that's not good. Wow. I mean, you have to pay attention to, you know, you don't want to go out there and get put in that trick bag. And that's, you know, there's, you know, they told me in court, there's no room for being stupid, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm kind of hoping maybe they'd write him a warning ticket, because nobody would be that bold to walk in with an illegal fish and ask a bunch of agents if they got a scale to weigh this illegal redfish. They'd have to know that he was ignorant of the law and maybe write him a warning ticket. You know?
Yeah, but ignorance of the law just don't cut it sometimes, Don, you know.
There is a difference between ignorance and stupid. There's a definite difference. Robbie, want to remind people, CCA Star, you still got tickets down there. It's not too late. We had another one of those fish caught by a registered angler.
And it's winding down, and we're gonna have us a Labor Day party here, wrapping that thing up. Labor Day weekend. We got a guy coming in from Kentucky who's a country singer, Kim Rhodes. He's going to be singing here Friday and Saturday night. So if anybody wants to come hang out and have some fun with us over by the Kiwis Trail, we're going to wrap up CCA Star Tournament in our own style over here by the Kiwis coming this Labor Day weekend.
Ain't nothing like a Shell Beach party, that's for sure.
You better believe it.
See you next week, Robbie. Take care, my friend. Stay cool.
All right, Don. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo. You can see him at Campo's Marina. All right, coming back after this, I got a very unique style of catching some sockeye, crappie, whatever you want to call them, this time of the year from Blaine Salter. We'll pass that along to you. Also, kind of run down for you that new regulation, 7-day-a-week red snapper season returning. All right, back to do it. After this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we get text in during the program from our listeners, and I see we got the Worm checking in. He's one of our regular listeners, and he says he's sitting in the New Orleans airport flying to California for a week of work, I think is what he meant. And he says, Mrs. Worm is listening, so to tell hello. So we've become a message board. Just want to let you know, Mrs. Worm, Mr. Worm is safe and sound in the airport, letting you know that. All right, we're also hearing from our buddy Wingbone, the turkey call maker in Wilmer, Alabama. And Ed says, last Saturday, a man was ejected out of his boat. He had on his life jacket, and the kill switch was attached. Well, that was good news. And kill switch, for those of you not familiar with it, is not meant to kill. It kills the engine, not the operator. It attaches to the outboard motor, and when the operator goes overboard or falls down, the switch is pulled out, and it automatically kills the engine, which is one of the greatest devices ever invented for boat safety. Also had that PFD on, so I'm assuming he's in good shape. All right, Captain Ross L's checking in. He said he was off this week, but he's after him. He's all fired up this morning. He's going to go catch him down there out of Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, wanted to mention to you red snapper fishing. Season 7 days a week, going to go back in effect. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shaham signed a declaration of emergency. They've figured out we've got enough snapper to take it through Labor Day and maybe on into that, so they're going to go ahead and reopen it. You know, it was started at 7 days a week, then went to 3-day weekends. Now going back, starting Monday, 7 days a week, you can fish them during the week. About 80% was caught through August the 4th, so that was about 13 days ago. So you can figure we're probably somewhere in the high 80s, low 90s. So we're pretty much approaching our total allowance of almost 1 million pounds this year, 934,587. But until further notice, and they'll send the word out when they anticipate that the total harvest will be caught. All right, from Red Snapper, we take you to sockeye. If you are an avid sockeye fisherman, crappie fisherman, you know this time of the year when it gets hot, they can be hard to locate. Got a report in from our field reporter, Blaine Salter, and he got a report from Glenn Davis, who is arguably one of the best sockeye fishermen in the state. The target area would be Morganza at Old River. He said the last 4 days have been producing catches, and he sent me some pictures to prove it. These are very nice fish. But he says, here's the kicker. You're better off fishing the four hottest hours of the day, midday. You know, generally the rule of thumb for fishing is go early, go late. Water temperatures are going to be at their coolest, and it's also the most comfortable. But when it comes to these sockeye, they're ganging up in the shade underneath piers on the inner side. And he suggests to fish deep, dark piers in 12 to 14 feet of water. If you got a live scope, that'll help, but you don't have to have it. But also use the heavier jig heads, about an eighth of an ounce, and match it up with a gray or shad-colored baits. That's what's working best. It's going to mimic what they're naturally feeding on. Lighter jig heads won't hold against the wind or the current and won't keep your bait still enough for the big fish to get to them. But you just got to be confident and know that's where they are. They're down deep in that shade underneath the piers. Nobody caught any fish early. They were all caught during those brutal heat hours. But When you get boxes like he's showing me, that kind of eases the pain, as Blaine says. So we thank Blaine for that tip and that location. All right, I want to remind you, this is also a Hunters for the Hungry weekend. Today, Covington, St. Francisville, and Natchitoches. That's the drop-off points that will be open today. Tomorrow is the big day in Acadiana, Alexandria, Baton Rouge, and there's several pickup points and drop-off points in Baton Rouge. Clinton, Lake Charles, Houma. Also in Monroe, New Orleans, Ruston, Mandeville, Slidell, Maurice. In fact, I'll be at the one in Slidell. That's going to be at the Rouses on Gauze Boulevard. That's the one down towards the interstate. There's two of them on Gauze, and it'll be the one near the Sportsman's Haven location. I'll be there from 1 to 4. Come on by and drop something off for me, and we'll talk a little bit of fishing and hunting, and I've actually got some prizes to give to the first several people who show up there with donations. Thibodeau's got their collection going on tomorrow, as does Winfield. If you want to find the specific drop-off location and the specific time for your closest area, go to their website. It's cleanoutyourfreezer.com. Easy to remember, cleanoutyourfreezer.com. What's done with this food, and it does have to be clearly marked and dated and identified as what it is, they donate this to food drop-offs and soup kitchens and nonprofits all across the state to help feed the hungry people who are less fortunate, and it's a real treat to get something that's truly priceless. You can't buy wild game and game fish, but you can certainly donate it and pass it along to them. So hopefully you'll participate in that. All right, we're going to be back right after this, and we'll get to some more of your text messages. It's 504-260-1870. Also going to tell you, who are those people in the pictures in Grand Isle? In the background, you can see the barge and the crane dropping what's known as Cajun coral down to the bottom to create an artificial reef. Who are those people in the picture? We'll tell you when we come back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, our text message board is open for you at 504-260-1870, and we get this one coming in. It says, good morning, Don. Maybe you can help find out why only one of the boat operators has been named in the fatal boating accident on the Tickfar River a few weeks back. Thanks. I don't have any idea, but maybe I can do a little bit of looking into it. Perhaps it was a juvenile, and they don't release names of juveniles in those instances, so it's the only thing I can think of, unless someone's trying to protect somebody, but that happens on occasion. All right, we also have this one from our buddy the Steel Man. He went with Smalls, and the pair of them caught a couple reds south of Houma last weekend, and they had those temporary boat troubles to overcome, don't we all? Permanent repairs in the plan for this weekend, and he gives us that happy hunting. And a question comes in, have you heard anything new on Plaquemines Parish water diversion? Are they ready to rebuild wetlands, help fishing, shrimp, oysters? Latest I heard, there has been a delay. They've kind of put a stay on, if you're talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion project, they're kind of rethinking it, relooking at it based on the cost of it and the benefit per cost, and it's taken up a huge amount of the money, but it gets complicated because there are contractors who are under contract that are ready to go, and they're being put on hold, so it's getting a little bit messy on whether that will proceed or whether it's going to have to go through the courts or what the final outcome is going to be. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and we'll be back. And if you were one of the ones that checked out my Facebook page and you saw that picture of us in Grand Isle on the boat with the barge in the background creating the new artificial reef, going to be called Raising Cane's Hotel Sid, I'll identify who those five folks were. You probably know some of them, and I know you'll know one when I mention his name. Back to do that, but first we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, that picture that appeared on the Facebook page, there were five of us sitting on a gunwale of a Freeman boat that went out there into Grand Isle. On the far left, a lot of you know that's CCA's. Of course, these people had sunglasses and caps on, so it might have been a little difficult. CCA's director, David Cresson, he was aboard. And then moving to the right, Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, who generously put up $100,000 to be matched by an additional $100,000 for the creation of the reef. And he has all intentions of maybe helping create some more of those reefs. Those things are wonderful as we lose habitat for fishing You know, it's kind of a really sticky, silly situation. We've got oil and gas rigs and platforms out in the Gulf, and some of them are in the interior, like this one is only 2 miles offshore, actually on the backside, going kind of on the backside of the island, in between Bird Island and some others where there's a little bit of protection if you're getting out there. They get decommissioned when they stop producing. And instead of letting them topple the rig and drop all of the debris to the bottom to create the reef, very simply, they make the oil companies pay to have it hauled away and remove the habitat that attracts the fish. Well, that's why they come in with these artificial reefs, and there's been an awful lot of them. If you go to the CCA website, they're all listed there, latitude, longitude, coordinates. They're easy to find. A lot of them are marked. And believe it or not, they start producing pretty rapidly after they're put down. Well, this one is called Hotel Sid, and I'm going to talk more to Darrell Carpenter, who fishes that area and has fished Hotel Sid, and I've fished there with him. It's gone. It ain't there no more, as they say, but now the Cajun coral is going to replace it. So getting back to the people on the boat, it was David Cresson, CCA, then Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, yours truly, then Madison Sheehan, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary. She made the trip out there. She wanted to see it for herself. And on her would be her left, in the right of the picture, is none other than our photographer and editor of Bayou Wild TV, Chris LeCocq. And Chris was there. We documented it. And we'll show you the creation of it, get the theory of it, and talk to all the people involved on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. So you don't want to miss that. All right, back to the text board. Got them coming in fast and furious. Let's see. This one says, Don, really enjoyed listening to your show for many years. I'm going to drop off some deer meat tomorrow for the Hunters for the Hungry. I have plenty of pure beef from purchasing a cow this last year. Are they accepting this as well? Thanks. That's John from New Iberia. Absolutely, John. They'll take anything bought in the store. A lot of people do that, and I'm glad I'm going to be at Rouse's this year because that's so convenient for someone to walk in and pick up some protein or seafood or even canned goods or anything. I mean, you know, it's tougher lately than ever, although Hunters for the Hungry set a record last year, which only tells me and demonstrates the tremendous generosity of outdoors people. I mean, they step up to give, even though the economy's tight. Look at the prices at the store. It's getting harder to feed a family. But nonetheless, Hunters for the Hungry has come through. All right, here's a message from one of our Alabama regulars. He's called the backstrap stacker for obvious reasons. He says it went from 12 inches of rain last month to 0.08 so far this month. Hopefully this drought won't last too long. My cow peas need some rain. Yeah, there's a lot of people got their plots invested, and I think it's coming. There was some around here yesterday, and of course I'm in South Alabama today at what we call St. Hubert's Annex. And it was extremely dry when we got here, but I saw some pop-up storms in and around. I didn't get any here, but some areas are getting it. It's kind of hit and miss. And here's one says, good luck to the Yakkers fishing the Lafayette Tourney today. Getting ready for Ride the Bull next week. Yeah, that's only 1 week away. That's the big one on Grand Isle. He says, please get some info on the bulls in the past and other local fishing. We'll be on the island most of the week. That's thanks, Biscuits and Boudin over here. That's our friend, the Lafayette Yakker. Yeah, we'll check in with Darrell and find out if Caminata Pass has been producing some of those big bulls, which that's what it's all about. And we've got a special event going to be going on. Randy Pacina of Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, they're going to be implementing the first ever redfish restocking program in Louisiana, and the spawners are going to come from the Ride the Bull tournament. We're going to be down there, our Bayou Wild team documenting the catch. They'll be transported to Ocean Springs, Mississippi to put in the fish hatchery. And then when they reach, I think it's a 2-inch size, they'll be brought back to Louisiana and stocked in various places to help restore our redfish population. And we'll be documenting that on future episodes of Bayou Wild TV. All right, right after this, we'll be right back. We'll get to more of your text messages and some more announcements we got coming up, so stick around for it. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting back to our text board, this question comes up. If the photographer was in the picture, who took the picture? Well, let me assure you, that boat was covered with media. There were people from a lot of television stations in New Orleans, and the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. I think it was the young lady that was doing the story for the Times-Picayune who actually took the picture. But there were plenty of capable people to take the picture. All right, here's a comment. I fish out of Shelly Beach. I think you mean Shell Beach, I guess. But I fish out to White Log and north to Little Bayou Pierre. I've heard of some man-made structures in the area called Flatboat Reef. Are you aware of this and where it's actually located? I'm going to make a note to maybe check with Robbie Campo on that next week. Maybe he'll have an idea. I do not, and maybe if we got a listeners who do fish that, they could tell us. Sometimes these areas, these points and water bodies and passes, and they have different names. People give them names on their own, and they kind of become that name. But if you look on a map, it could be something different. Anyway, we'll check it out and let you know. All right, I want to remind you something we talked about last week. Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries is putting on two women's fishing 101 workshops this fall. And it's for women over the age of 18. If you want to learn about fishing, they teach it all to you. Fish identification, how to handle fish, how to basically rig up the equipment, the skills, how to clean fish, store, cook fish, the whole deal. They are randomly selected. The ones who attend, they'll make a random selection, and they get the chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip with some of the biologists and the volunteer instructors. So if you want to sign up first for the workshops, one of them, the first one is September 7th. That's a Saturday at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge in Baton Rouge. It'll be from 9 in the morning till 4:30. And the second one is November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel Refuge. You can go to the Wildlife and Fisheries website and check it out, fishing workshops. And if you get randomly selected, first of all, I think it's first come, first serve to get in on the workshops. And then if you qualify for a workshop, then all of those names will be put into a drawing. And then there'll be some winners who will get to accompany them on an overnight weekend fishing trip. So check that out. Also for you hunters, you bow hunters in particular, but not necessarily, Mississippi is bringing back, they did this last year, their velvet season. And this is going to be September the 13th through the 15th. So it's like 3 days only. It's only on private lands, not on public management areas. And one legal buck for each deer management unit can be taken. It is archery only, longbows, recurves, compound bows, crossbows, no maximum or minimum draw weight on it, and no minimum arrow length. Now, there is an extra permit that's needed. If you're a resident of Mississippi, it's only $10, but and they're famous for this. If you're a non-resident of Mississippi, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. Any non-resident that has a deer permit does not expire until after that. You don't need to renew your deer permit prior to your expiration. That's a good break. Again, the bag limit's one. You do have to mandatory harvest reporting. You got to report it, and you do have to submit it for mandatory CWD sampling. So it's a great opportunity. If you want to get a buck with velvet antlers and maybe get it mounted, here's your chance, and it's special in Mississippi. All right, we're talking about Bayou Wild TV, what's airing this week, if you're tuning in. One of the most humorous, funniest fishing features we've done in the nearly 8 years we've been on the air now. This is season 13 we're in. It's called Gators, Gar, and Big Frieda. And if you're not familiar with who Big Frieda is, you probably don't appreciate this. But if you are, imagine Big Frieda catching about probably a 30-pound garfish. And it's... it's exciting, but it's funny at the same time. Check it out. And if you don't know who Big Frieda is, you will after you watch it. Go to BayouWildTV.com, and you can see it on our YouTube page, or you can find a station near you that carries the program. Something else I wanted to get this in. Riptides, rip currents. These are extremely dangerous, and this is the time of year where a lot of people fish the surf, Grand Isle and other areas. And if you get caught in one, what this is, it's a powerful current, and the water is moving directly away from the shore. I mean, you can see it. I mean, debris and foam and the waves are just pulling out Gulf way. And even if you're a good swimmer, it's going to take you away from shore. And what happens is people who try to fight that current end up succumbing to it and drowning because you just can't. But the way to do it, if you get caught, is first thing to do is you relax and swim parallel to the shore and keep swimming sideways. Let it pull you out. And then once you get out of the current, then you can come back in. If you need to, you can float, just tread water, just hang in there till you get out of the current. But don't try to buck the current and come back in, or the riptide will win. Be careful of that, especially if you got kids on the beach. All right, we got some more text messages coming in, but we got a fishing report with Captain Darrell Carpenter. We're going to talk about that Hotel Sid fishing reef, where it is, what time of year is best to fish it, because he knows all about it. He and I fished it when it was still a rig. Now it's got Cajun coral on the bottom. We'll tell you about that and get a Grand Isle fishing report for you next on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And we're joined now by Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, we got a lot of questions for you. Hope we get time to get them all in. First of all, I did want to talk about the creation of the artificial reef known as Hotel Sid. You and I fished it as a platform. You probably fished it very frequently. Tell us about that area, where it's located, and when's the best time to fish it, and how do you fish it?
Well, Don, Sid is located right off of the Bear Terrier Waterway, just to the east of the Bear Terrier Waterway. And, hey, man, look, when it was a platform, it was a darn good spot. I mean, it's always attracted fish. It's always had fish. Probably March or April through about November. It's, you know, off and on. It's a good spot. It just depends on the tide, how everything's moving, where the bait's at, and everything else. But I texted you the other day. I didn't know you were gonna be on the boat, but what, 10 minutes before y'all showed up, I finished down a limit of fish right there before y'all showed up and left just a few minutes before you.
You were fishing right by the barge.
I was fishing probably 50, 60 feet from the barge. In fact, we were picking on them when they were hanging the banners. We kept telling them, no, that's crooked. Redo it.
Well, sorry we missed you there. But I do remember that one trip that was outstanding where we had the pogies. And, boy, we just wore them out that day on the pogies. And, you know, the date of that trip, I think, was June 12th. So this is not too far beyond that. If you can get a hold of some pogies and go out there, you're liable to do well with them.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, because at Hotel Sid, even though the structure's gone, we still catch them there occasionally on carks. Most of it's now on bottom. Nothing. There is, I mean, and we talked about this for many, many years offshore. Nothing beats a reef that breaks the surface, that goes from the bottom to the surface. But the next best thing is at least leave a dirty bottom, and that's what's happened at Hotel Sid. They've left a dirty bottom, so it still attracts fish.
Darrell, did you know the origin of the name Hotel Sid? I did not, but I learned it.
I do not, and I'd be interested in hearing this.
Do you know a guy named Sidney Bourgeois?
Do not.
Sidney Bourgeois is related to Joe Bourgeois, who has since passed on, the owner of Joe's Landing down in Lafitte. And Sidney and another guy were fishing that platform, and they had some bad weather. So they tied up and got on the platform to weather the storm. Somebody didn't put a good knot or something on the line, and the boat drifted off. They spent, I think, 2 days. This is before cell phones, or they didn't have any radios, nothing. I think they spent a couple of days on that before they were rescued, and they named it Hotel Sid because he spent the night sleeping there.
And it must have been a good venture because it stuck.
It did, and it's there today, and it's actually named after him. So in addition to now, it's called Raising Cane's Hotel Sid Reef because it's, $100,000 from Todd Gray's. Very generous of him to make that. Also, I got this question. Somebody saw Tommy Vedrine fishing Flatboat Reef, catching monster trout. I imagine you familiar with Flatboat Reef down there?
Well, there you go. That's another one of those things that everybody has a different name for different things. If they saw Tommy Vedrine, heck, I ain't seen him in a couple of years. I think he's over in Mississippi or somewhere now, but I have no idea what they're talking about on Flatboat Reef.
Yeah, well, they said that was more out of Shell Beach, but when I saw Tommy Vedrine's name, I said, well, maybe it was Grand Isle because that's where he earned his fame. But, yeah, as you said, he's moved away. So that flatboat reef may be somewhere between the Mississippi-Louisiana line. But, yeah, you know, somebody might say they had an old sunk flatboat, so they called it. Remember that flatboat, the reef with the flatboat? It ends up flatboat reef. Somebody had a bottle of whiskey. They call that Whiskey Bay. You know, that, the names are just crazy how they get assigned. All right, I got another question.
Yeah, I've heard
several. Go ahead.
I've heard of Flatboat Pass over there in the Breton Sound, you know, that in the border region, but I don't know.
That might be it. I got this is from several people. You know, Ride the Bull is next Saturday, so tell us what the situation is in Caminata Bay and Caminata Pass as far as the bullfish, redfish.
As I was leaving, right around dark, I guess yesterday afternoon now. As I was leaving on the shrimp boat, we passed a couple of people that were coming out of the pass, and they did report that they were catching bull reds this weekend, so or yesterday. So, yeah, the bulls are starting to move in. Don, it's been a little bit of a strange week around here. I mean, I'm talking 4:30 in the morning, we get on the boat. The water temperature down here is still 92, 93 degrees. I'm talking about overnight water temperature, 92, 93 degrees. So it's still a little bit warm. I noticed, you know, we shrimped all night long looking for bait, looking for eating shrimp up until about an hour and a half ago. And I noticed that we're starting to catch, you know, pockets here and there of pogies. It's something we hadn't seen a whole lot in the bay here. I mean, usually I can stand on my dock. We talked about Hotel Cid. Usually I can stand on my dock and cast net pogies all night long. It's something that we haven't seen very much this summer. You know, you've got, and I guess something, you know,
we got to go. We're up against the clock. The big train's coming, so I got to go. I'll tell people how to get you when we come back after the top of the hour break, and we'll catch up with you next week. That's Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And hour number two of the Outdoor Show is on the way right after this. All right, and those of you who might want to chat with Darrell Carpenter, find out about some availability, you can reach Darrell at area code 225-937-6288, or you can find him on his website, which is Real, like the fishing reel, R-E-E-L, Screamers.com. That's RealScreamers.com. All right, we have with us Sam Hopper, the director of the CCA Star Tournament. He joins us now with about 3 weeks left to go. And, Sam, you guys had some more exciting news in the Star this week. The fourth redfish tagged and also caught by a registered angler happened. Tell us about it.
That's right, Don. Mr. Tom Solari of Lake Charles caught the fourth tagged redfish this year, which we're giving prizes out left and right. And a pretty fun fact about this fish, it was caught nearly 3 months to the day of when it was tagged. It traveled over 18 miles and grew 2.5 inches. So that fish was on the go.
So not only does this provide prizes and competition, it also provides some scientific data to turn over to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries that gives them some good intel.
It absolutely does.
All right, so you've given away, what, a Silverado truck, and now this is like three boats. What's left to give away for somebody that just signed up?
That's right. So we're still in the tag redfish division. We still have two 18-foot Freedom Patriots powered with 115-horsepower Mercury. And then we also have three 17-foot Gatortail Extreme Series left to give away in the tag redfish division.
All right, very good. Now, this year it's kind of weird. There's been some opportunities. Has a yellowfin tuna been weighed in at all yet? That's the strangest thing to go this long without one fish on the board.
I know, man. So we've had multiple fish weighed in, but they have been either a registered CCA member and not signed up for the tournament, or they just signed up for the tournament and weren't an active CCA member. But it's funny you bring this up. We had three weighed in last night. So once I get back to the office and make sure they're registered, going to update the leaderboard on every Tuesday, hopefully these will stick and we'll finally have a yellowfin on the leaderboard.
Yeah, still opportunity, though, because it's probably a good chance to beat whatever one is going to be top. The kids, there's always opportunity for those kids divisions. That is the most overlooked and easiest signed up there is. Explain how that works for the kids.
It is. So if they are 17 and under, they can compete in the youth division, and also the youth are able to compete in the adult division. but it only costs $10 for them to sign up if they are not an active CCA member. But if they are an active CCA member, it's free. And all they have to do is catch a 14-inch sheep's head or a 14-inch speckled trout or both to double their odds. All they have to do is take a picture of the youth and that fish in front of a roller and email it to me at sam@ccalouisiana.com, and we will draw for those youth here in about 3 weeks.
All right, still got time to catch one of those tagged redfish. There's a lot of them swimming around. You can win another one of those boats, or if you catch the blue tag, you get a whole year worth of Michelob Ultra, and that's not a bad deal either. And, of course, there's a lot of categories to compete, and maybe you can knock somebody off the board. Tell them the easiest way to get signed up, Sam.
All they have to do is go to ccastar.com and sign up there, or call our office at 225-952-9200. And we'll get you squared away. But make sure before you get on the water, you're signed up, but you are also an active CCA member. And good luck. We have 16 days left in the tournament. Still plenty of time, plenty of prizes to give away. So get signed up today at ccastar.com.
Very good. And I might add, make sure you have all your proper licensing, because in order to qualify to win, you got to be doing it legal, completely legal, too.
Exactly, Don.
Thanks, Sam. Can't wait to see you, my friend.
Thank you, man.
We'll talk to you later. Sam Hopper, CCA Star Tournament Director, doing a heck of a job in a great tournament this year. I don't know. They may be setting a record on catching the number of tagged redfish by registered anglers. And you can help them out. Get signed up. But remember, do both. Become a member and get a star ticket. All right, coming back after this, it's Born on the Bayou. Captain Mike Gallo joins us next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with one Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO. You know CETO, for $249 a year. You get unlimited fuel drops, 24/7 jump starts for the electrical problem, whatever it takes. They'll tow you back in safely from anywhere to any other point you need to go. It's peace of mind, mostly for you and your loved ones, and it's just one simple phone call away, or maybe one click on your computer. If you're using a computer, go to CETO.com. If you're using a telephone, you can give them a call at 504-301-4545, and I promise you they'll get you signed up in a hurry, and you will be covered immediately. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, what's been going on over there on the bayou, Salt Bayou?
Well, I tell you, Don, the pattern's been pretty consistent. Leave early before it gets too hot. Fish the deeper passes. Live bait on a drop shot. After you get the fish worked up a little bit, you may be able to slip some plastic on a drop shot down there and catch them as well. And, you know, you catch as many as you can. We got good tide movement this weekend. Got very little rain, very little wind. So it's shaping up to be a pretty productive weekend. I know the local marinas have lots of live shrimp, and that's a big plus. But my best areas have been the deeper areas, fishing anywhere from 10 to 30 feet of water down on the bottom where there's some shells and some good current movement. And that's just going to remain the pattern for at least several more weeks.
Yeah, we got that 1.9, almost 2 full foot of tide moving. There's going to be a lot of water moving, stimulating bait. We got a full moon coming up on Monday. It is known as the Sturgeon Moon, this one, and it's one of those super moons where it's relatively closer to the Earth than doing other full moon periods. Your thoughts on fishing a full moon with a big tide range?
Well, I'm not a big fan of fishing redfish around a full moon, especially in the summer. I feel like they'll feed at nighttime. They'll feed for about the first hour of daylight, and then it's just tough to catch them. As far as trout, though, our trout are spawning this time of year, and their spawning activity will increase around the full moon. So we got decent salt water in the area. Since the Mississippi River is low, our salinity is a little bit higher than it normally is, and we've got trout in the local area. So if you turn your attention toward trout, you should have a good catch. The rule of thumb is generally 3 to 5 days before a full moon, or 3 to 5 days after a full moon, those fish will really feed heavily. So that coincides with this weekend, and hopefully we have some good catches.
Mike, you get a 2-foot tide. You're fishing as deep as 30 feet. How are you going to rig that drop shot to make sure you get to the bottom and you hold your area where the fish are stationed?
Well, I may need 2 1-ounce sinkers if I'm fishing in heavy current. I often find the fish will hang where there's a current line, and you can see where water is moving at different speeds. You know, towards the middle of the channel, the water will be moving pretty fast, and around points or where there's a ledge down on the bottom, often the water is moving at 2 different speeds, and you can see this line along the surface, and you'll want to fish right along that current line. If you don't feel yourself bouncing on the bottom, obviously you're suspended up a little bit because you don't have enough weight. Just add weight until you're able to get down to the bottom and hold the bottom, and that will generally be where those fish will hang out, close to the bottom.
Mike, I got a listener wanting to know if you are aware of the place called Flatboat Reef. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of Flatboat Key out towards Isle of Pete on the extreme eastern edge of the marsh, but not Flatboat Reef. There's a lot of reefs in that area, so I'm just not familiar with that exact name.
Yeah, you know, as we were mentioning, you know, places get names by individuals, and the name just happens to stick, and one group might call it one thing, another group calls it another. You know, it's like trying to find Little Lake. You know, somebody tells you, I caught them in Little Lake. Well, there's a lot of Little Lakes all across the coast, you know.
There is. I know of a few Little Lakes myself.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's a question maybe we can get an answer to eventually and figure that out. Well, Mike, you didn't get to make the trip to Arkansas. I was hoping you could come back and give us a rainbow trout report.
Well, I'll be able to do that next week. The trip is more in the midweek. So I'll be running up and fishing the White River with some of my guys from Texas and see if I can catch some rainbow trout. So it's going to be a little different for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned that to me, that was what I brought up. I said, I think it's the White River where you're probably going. It's a well-renowned place for some really big, nice rainbow trout. Very popular fishing spot. Well, Mike, if people want to get in touch with you, you're on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We can connect you over to yours, which is AAofLA.com. But a lot of folks like to talk to you, Mike, so give them that telephone number where they can chat with you.
Yeah, no problem. Give us a call. We got several captains ready and willing to take you out fishing if I'm not available. Not a problem at all. You can reach me at 985-781-7811.
And just to let you know, that listener said, yeah, that was it. It's the Keys, called Flatboat Keys.
Oh, good.
You solved
it. I'm not as lost as I thought I was.
Oh, you're never lost. Might just be temporarily disoriented. Mike, we'll see you next week, my friend. Have a good trip.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
That's Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Yeah, I was out at his camp. We were taping a cooking feature. I was doing my Game Bird Pepper Poppers for a public broadcast channel that was doing. They're going to be presenting several episodes called Coastal Cooking. They're going to be going around the Louisiana coast and doing seafood. And I think the only wild game dish they had was mine. But anyway, we'll tip you off and let you know when and where you can see that. All right, we come back after this. It's time to go paddling for your fish. We got old Raccoon Feet. In fact, I got an invitation that was sent to him by way of our text line. We'll fill you in on Captain Eric Mohabarak's report after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we have a peddler's report for those of you who love to fish up close and personal out of kayaks and canoes and piros. And Captain Eric Mohabarak, who is one of the very few charter captains who takes people out in kayaks, supplies everything they need, joins us now. And Eric, I got to tell you, man, Massey's is going crazy with these discounts. Are they on a model change, a year model change? Is that why they're reducing all these kayaks?
Yeah, I think they're getting ready for the fall. I know they got a huge sale coming up. I think it's going to be pretty much everything in the store is going to have sale prices on it next week. But they are preparing, you know, they're letting some things go a little early. Like they got the Jackson kayaks for 30% off. They also got the Bonafide and the Native 15% to 20% off on some models. And they're also doing something different. You'd have to call a store to really get how this works. It's any purchase over $2,000, you get 5% store credit back. So basically, you get whatever 5% of $2,000 is to spend on clothing or accessories. If you buy a kayak, or it doesn't have to be a kayak, it could be ski clothes, and you get you a set of goggles or whatever, however that works. And then at under $2,000, you get 3% store credit. And so that's a little deal they run in right now. I think that's going to go through the whole sale of the fall sale they have. And also, they got a demo Hobie PA 360 for sale. That's an incredible price. The boat's only a year old. It's $3,000. That's a $6,000 boat. Yes, it does have a scratch on it or something like that, but you know what? That boat's got a lot of life in it. In fact, I'm fishing one out of 10 years right now. I was just checking out my numbers on some old boats I got. But yeah, they're tearing it up over there for sure, man. I highly suggest hit one of the locations, Baton Rouge, Covington, or New Orleans, right there in Carlton Avenue. Go see John or Val or at the other stores, and they'll be glad to help you out in any way. They do repairs also on the kayaks if y'all have problems with any
of that. One of the few places that does those repairs. Yeah, get in touch with them. Massey's, yeah. Three locations, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and also in Covington. Eric, we got the Lafayette Club, having their Cajun Classic today. It's a slam tournament. They're probably all out on the water right now. What was the latest info you got on that area?
Well, you know, everything's a secret when they got those big tournaments going on. It's a slam tournament, the Cajun Classic. That's our sister club, the Lafayette Club, and, speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and they're fishing Big Lake. So the only report that I could pull out of one of our friends, we know who he is, he'll be on the radio next week, is they have reds on the South Shore. That's what I got.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Sneaky himself. So it should be a good term, but they have been catching some fish that I've picked up on. I've seen some flounder, some nice flounder caught, and some trout and stuff like that. So it should be a good tournament. It's also a Hobie qualifier, as well as the Falling Tide tournament, which is going to be held out at Empire, which I can't wait to eat at the Ponderosa, the Delta Marina, and that's going to be another slam tournament. It qualifies you for the Hobie Worlds if you win it.
All right, well, we got to ride the bull. We can't do a report without talking about that coming up next week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real special one because some of the bulls that are caught are going to be spawned at the Mississippi's fish hatchery and returned to restock in the Louisiana waters. But you've been down there. In fact, you got an invitation here on a text board from the Lafayette Yacker. He wanted me to let you know. He said, tell Raccoon Feet to join us. We have room for you at his camp. So there you go. You got a bed.
It's only if he brings that Jameson Boudin will come in biscuits. You know how he makes them good.
The Boudin biscuits. he'll have that along with some good coffee. So what advice do you give to people that's going to be fishing in that maybe for their first time?
The Ride the Bull is a great tournament, especially for the beginners because it's simple. They can anchor up. They have boats that can help you if you have any trouble. And their camaraderie is just phenomenal. My suggestion is a life preserver. Hydrate. Don't drink a bunch the night before. Hydrate. Stay hydrated. Get a 100-foot anchor line with 2 foot of anchor, 8 pounds of anchor chain, which is about 2 foot if you get the right size. And I use a Danfork anchor. That's an argument that everybody's going to have. Danfork works for me. And just throw it out there, sit, get you a whole crab, throw it out in the bottom. I believe that your bigger reds are going to eat crab. That's what they eat, you know, and that's kind of something I've been waiting on with the new change in the redfish laws is to see the population of crabs, because I remember when things changed after the gill netting and crabs were down a little bit. But, I highly suggest using a crab. It's fun. Stay hydrated. Bring an umbrella, you know, because sometimes you're sitting there, man, and it gets hot and the fish aren't, you know, biting right away and you're kind of bored. But that umbrella can save you a little bit, a little bit of trouble. A little pop-up umbrella will do you a big favor. Drink your water. Have a good time. The food's good. Everybody's in a good mood. But, you know, anybody's willing to help you out there. You know, you can find some of the older guys like Chris Holmes and the Lafayette Yak and all of that. And those senior guys who've been around since the beginning of this club will be glad to answer any questions or help you in any way.
I think Brendan's going to be down there, too. And speaking of those crabs, I'm with you on fishing the crabs for the bulls. You don't catch as many fish, but they're quality fish. And if you use mullet, you end up with a lot of trash. You get those, you know, hard heads, and you also get the channel cats and that kind of stuff, you know. So the gaff tops, they don't seem to want the crabs as much as the bull reds do. Well, Eric, you're talking about Port Sulphur. You managed to catch some fish with almost no tide. Got 1.9. Should be a hot spot this weekend, huh?
Yeah, actually, me and the King are going out tomorrow. I think we're going to go a little north of Port Sulphur and hit Myrtle Grove just because of time and try and beat the heat, get in there and before daylight and get out right at about 11, try and pull the boats out at noon and call it a day. That's the way I've been running these trips lately. It's just too hot to keep people that aren't used to the heat out there like it is. Again, stay hydrated. I use that liquid IV stuff. It's phenomenal. And just fished. The redfish last week were finicky. We could see them. You know, they just wouldn't take the bait. It's all about the tide. They did have some feeding. We caught those, but just not much action, really. It was really a tough day. We ended up with a handful of fish. Still a great day on the water. I highly suggest anybody who has the opportunity to get out there when they can. It's a great state we live in.
And, Eric, somebody wants to learn kayak fishing, booking the trip with you. Way to do that. Find out if it's really for them. Learn a lot of things. Tell them how to get a hold of you. Besides my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, how else can they reach you?
Well, Don, they can get a hold of me. The easiest way is 504-313-8292. Just send me a text or a call. A text is better. Or you can get in touch with me on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company. Real easy to find. They can call Massey's, too, if they need me. If they forget the number, it's real simple to find me. So, Don, we're getting ready to go tear it up.
I know. And kayaking, you know, changed your life. You were a bay boat guy and opened up a whole new world, and I'm sure it does for a lot of people. So I suggest at least give it a try. And, you know, you never know. You may find a new hobby. Eric, thanks so much for all the info. We really appreciate it, my friend. Have a good weekend.
All right, Don, y'all have a great one and have a good day and be safe out there and stay hydrated.
Absolutely. All right, there he goes, Captain Eric Mahabarak, Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you the story of a guy who was busted in Grand Isle with 466 fish. If you want to see what they look like laid out on the dock with the help of some wildlife and fishery enforcement agents, check out my Facebook page. You'll see a picture of them there. The story is next here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are still looking for leads regarding that endangered whooping crane that was found shot in January of this year in Evangeline Parish. If you know anything about it, you can earn yourself, get this number, $12,500. It's being offered as a reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the illegal shooting of that whooping crane. All right, and we come back right after this quick station identification pause. Had a guy, you got to call him greedy. He had 466 fish caught illegally, and it wasn't enough. We'll be back with his story, but first, we'll let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on Sunday, August the 4th, Gui Chen was having a great day fishing from a Grand Isle fishing pier, catching 65 speckled trout and 401 white trout with a cast net. But Chen's joy was short-lived when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Sergeant Norman DeRoche, Corporal Jonathan Boudreau, and Agent Harry Gaines, upon checking his catch, discovered not only was he over the limit of 15 specks, but every last one of the 65 were under the 13-inch minimum size. To top it off, Chen didn't even bother to buy a measly $15 saltwater fishing license. More bad news for Mr. Chen came when the agents confiscated all 466 of his fish and donated them to a local charity. Plus, he got a total maximum fine of restitution. He'll be looking at $4,793 and up to 120 days in jail. Using the Goldilocks rule, is that too little, too much, or just right punishment? Love to hear from you. He got caught for all that. possessing over 50 speckled trout, every one of them undersized. Even though he had 401 white trout, caught them all without a license. If you were the judge, what would you award to 56-year-old Gwen Chen of Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Text me the total cash amount and any jail time you would hand down. If you be the judge or a juror, you can do that on our text line at 504-260-1870. And I want you to consider as a mitigating circumstance, does his display of greed enter in your decision for the punishment? All right, we'll be back to check that out. Also, we're going to try to make contact with Ryan Lambert. He is down in Mexico at Nolejase. If we can't get him, we got a backup report from the Cajun Fishing Adventures in Buras. That's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Now, we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to get our plastic man on because he's down at Nolejase in Mexico, but we did manage to get him, and we had Captain Todd as backup, so we decided two is better than one, and we got them both on. Good morning, Ryan, and good morning, Todd.
Good morning. How's everything, guys?
Oh, first of all, let's get the dove report from Nolejase down in Mexico. What's going on down there, Ryan?
Very good, very good. You know, it's opening weekend, so tons and tons of doves. And it's fresh. We've got a lot of clouds right now, too, so the breeze is not hot. It's pretty nice hunt.
What kind of doves are y'all getting down there? Is it mostly white wings, or they're mornings, or they're the Eurasians, or all of them?
This time of year, well, you have all of them. You have turtle doves. Right now, it's white wing season, and then later on, the local doves will start coming in. So right now, it's just mostly white wings with a few regular morning doves mixed in, but not much.
To give people an idea of what the action's like down there,
October into the south of Nicaragua. In the Buras. They have a bunch of them that took that wrong turn and ended up in Buras in December.
Yeah, you hunt them wherever they are, near or far. Ryan, to give people an idea, how many shells does the typical hunter go through on a day's dove hunt there?
Well, you're limited right now to 15 boxes a hunt. So you have five hunts, so yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I walked into the showroom the other day and the cases were stacked high in my head. 25 feet.
Yeah, there's a lot of sore shoulders there. Well, we got your buddy back at the mothership on with us. Todd, tell us about the fishing down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. What's it been like last couple of days, and what's it look like for today?
It looks really calm this morning, which is a blessing since I'm going on the beach to go bull red fishing. So hopefully we can get some big ones and put some smiles on some faces.
Well, we got almost a 2-foot range of tide. How are y'all going to fish him? I know Ryan's, you know, he's the plastic guy, okay? Are you?
Well, we're going to do the same. Yeah, we'll plastic on our popping cork just to attract them.
There you go, Ryan. In your honor, they're going to use plastic instead of dead shrimp. How about that?
Oh, yeah. The bull red's on a cork. I mean, you can't beat that. But the red is falling. It's down to 3.5, and it's going to fall another foot this week. So this game on, the fish are just pulling in toward the river.
Yeah, I don't know if you got word, but the saltwater wedge is on the move. It was at Boothville last I heard.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. They moved out. It's going down to 2 foot.
Todd, which direction are y'all going for those bulls?
We're going on the west side this morning. We're launching. I'm actually just leaving Joshua as we're going on the west. I'll probably go north a little bit towards Grand Isle and get on the beach and look around for slicks.
Supposed to be light winds, I think, out of the southeast or possibly southwest. What are y'all getting right now?
We don't have any wind right now. It's flat calm. I saw when it is going to pick up later, I saw east, but it's still less than 5, so it should be a gorgeous day.
Yeah, boy, sure could use a little breeze or cloud cover on these hot days, or that would be nice. Maybe y'all can get it done early and get back to the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge and have a good lunch quick.
Jump in that swimming pool.
Ryan, how hot is it down in Mexico?
It's 26 degrees right now.
Centigrade.
Yeah. It's around 90. You know, it's not too bad. And then when the clouds come, there's a nice fresh breeze because the humidity is low. So it feels really good. You know, at home, the wind's really hot, but if the clouds come, it gets nice and fresh. So it's been like that the last 3 years down here. It's been an enjoyable hunt.
Might have to go to Mexico to cool off. Todd, if you guys are going for the bulls today, if somebody wanted to go for trout, what would be your advice?
Right now for trout, I think on the outside, like by the rig and Bretland Sound, today would be a good day for it. But the west side, there's probably birds flying around all over the place also. They've been working, you know. So if you like to chase trout on the birds, we don't really like to do that. We'd rather sit on the reef and target them, the better quality fish.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, guys, well, sound like you got your days all planned out. And, Ryan, when are you coming back in town?
Tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow.
Man, you jump around like...
I'll be right back on the fish on Monday.
Yeah.
There's a hummer there, huh?
Yes, indeed. And you guys getting ready for gator season?
Yeah, we're ready. We got 24 tags to fill, so... we're ready. I mean, there's gators everywhere, as you know. So we'll just go tag eyes and make some happy customers, and everything will be great.
Todd, do you get in on that gator activity, or are you strictly a fisherman?
No, I mean, I can go ride with them every now and then, but I'm good with the fish on the deck of my boat, not gators.
I understand. All right, guys, if somebody wants to get in touch with y'all, and let's see, we got teal season coming up. We got the bull redfish working. You got speckled trout. You got a low river with the river dropping and salt water coming in with some good clean water. And gator season, all that activity going on at the Cajun Fishing Adventures. Tell them how to get you, Ryan, and find out more about it.
Go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me tomorrow at 504-559-5111.
All right, gentlemen. Yes, indeed. All right, gentlemen. Thank you, Todd. Good hearing from you. Have a great day, and we'll catch up with you guys later.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, there they go, Captain Todd Seither and our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. Check out their website. They got a good one. All right, coming back after this, we're going to put a wrap on it, get to some of your text messages, and tell you what might be coming up on next week's show. Stick around. We'll be right back after this with The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, catching up on our audience text messages. This one says, please let Sam Hopper know there's a lot of confusion when signing up for the Star Rodeo. It allows you to sign up for the rodeo, but does not require you to sign up for CCA at the time, but it is required that you are a CCA member in order to be eligible for the Star Rodeo. Yes, I'm sure Sam is aware of that. I didn't think that it was possible, and in the past it wasn't, and I'm sure they're going to rectify that for next year, where it will only let you sign up if you are a member, because unfortunately some people bought tickets but weren't members and disqualified their tagged redfish catches. All right, I think we have solved the issue of where Flatboat Reef is. Here's one that says, Flatboat Reef is a natural reef east of Isle of Pete near the old Wildlife and Fisheries Camp Island. And that's the one that Captain Mike Gallo joined. It also goes by the name of Flatboat Key, so there's a little bit of confusion there, but that's the spot. All right, we got Gator Boy checking in from Baton Rouge. Good luck to the castaway competitors out there on the west. He's also says, Don, I'm seeing your ducks, the teal, moving around this morning, too. That's good news. All right, we asked you about our bad boy. What would you, if you were on the jury or the judge, give Gui Chen? Guy went out with a cast net, 466 fish. All of his speckled trout were under the 13-inch legal size. Of course, there's no size limit on white trout, but you do need a license for them. So they were all illegal, all confiscated. $4,793 maximum fine and restitution, up to 120 days in jail. Is that too little, too much, or just right? What would you do? And, you know, you got to wonder, this probably wasn't the first time this guy did that, and he's probably not the only one doing it. So what impact does that have to us who are out there handling 12-inch trout with kid gloves, making sure the pelicans and the dolphins don't get them, and you remove the hooks gently, and you don't take the slime off of them, and taking all these pains to release them. And here's a guy just with a cast net slaughtering them. And what was he doing with them? That would be the next question. All right, here's what some of you are saying. $10,000 fine and 6 months in jail. Whew, that's tough. Here's one says, what if he wanted to get caught just so a charity can receive them? I don't think he's looking at the fine and making a donation to a charity. That's for sure. All right, here's one that says, there isn't enough room in jails for the violent criminals. Your bad boy needs an alternate punishment. I'd make him listen to Kamala Harris discuss complex topics on a continuous loop for a week I'd rather be in Alcatraz. He might go for the death penalty. you got to have fun with this stuff, huh? Okay, here's one says, I do believe the gentleman would do 466 days of community service, and $10 per fish seems about right for the fine. That's from Old Man Sam. All right, we're hearing from Big Mike this morning. We're also hearing from the Mad Trucker. He's out there on the road, highways, listening to us. And I got an RIP, Ed Daniels. If you haven't heard, Ed Daniels, longtime sports broadcaster for WGNO Television in New Orleans and many other stations before that, passed away. Unfortunately, Ed suffered a massive heart attack while he was covering the Saints in California, and he succumbed yesterday. I worked with Ed on several programs before they got their ABC affiliation, where I started doing weekly fish and game reports. I worked with him on a program called Saints Sideline, where we took Saints athletes out on fishing and hunting trips. We also had a program called Hometown Sports Page, which Ed hosted, and I did features. I was a contributor, and I'd sit in on the set. And one of the funniest Ed Daniels moments I remember, I had just completed doing a snake-catching feature in Manshack. We were out there grabbing snakes and putting them in the sack with the family that had the Kleber, that had the turtle farm out in Ponchatoula. And we went out and caught a bunch of snakes. And as a nice surprise for Ed, one of them was a huge gray rat snake. And I bundled up and put it in my jacket pocket. And when I got on set, right after the feature ran, I told Ed I wanted to make him feel like he was there. So I brought something from the trip and pulled out the snake and kind of passed it over to him. And Ed, being a trooper he was, he didn't get shocked or scared. He just kind of stared it down and said, we're kind of like moving right along. You know, Ed was a very serious and a very talented journalist and a good guy, a fellow Archbishop Rummel Raider. And he will be sadly missed in the Louisiana area covering sports. Ed always called it like it was, is the way I remember it. All right, RIP, Ed Daniels, sportscaster in Louisiana. All right, that's about going to wrap it up for us. I don't know what else I can tell you other than if you've got some fish or game, bring it to one of the collection points today or tomorrow. This is the Clean Out Your Freezer weekend put on by Hunters for the Hungry, a wonderful organization. I will be out there with my friend Janice, who's a tennis expert. She's like one level below Wimbledon in the Olympics, and she's going to give me a little bit of a tennis lesson this morning. We can see how I can hold up from that. But she's going to be with me tomorrow at Slidell's Rouse's location, the one near Sportsman's headquarters near I-10, closest one there, from 1 to 4, and we'll be set up there with ice chests, and I got some prizes to give away to the donors. But if you're not coming to that one, there's one near you. They're all over the state of Louisiana. Look on cleanoutyourfreezer.com, specific locations, dates, and times where you can make those donations. And we'll be reporting on that in the coming weeks and find out how well we did and also everyone else in the state. I know I can count on you outdoorsmen, some of the most generous people you'll ever meet. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me from our annex here in Alabama, St. Hubert's Cathedral. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, same channel, for the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are still looking for leads regarding that endangered whooping crane that was found shot in January of this year in Evangeline Parish. If you know anything about it, you can earn yourself, get this number, $12,500. It's being offered as a reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the illegal shooting of that whooping crane. All right, and we come back right after this quick station identification pause. Had a guy, got to call him greedy. He had 466 fish caught illegally, and it wasn't enough. We'll be back with his story, but first, we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on Sunday, August the 4th, Gui Chen was having a great day fishing from a Grand Isle fishing pier, catching 65 speckled trout and 401 white trout with a cast net. But Chen's joy was short-lived when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Sergeant Norman DeRoche, Corporal Jonathan Boudreaux, and Agent Harry Gaines, upon checking his catch, discovered not only was he over the limit of 15 specks, But every last one of the 65 were under the 13-inch minimum size. To top it off, Chen didn't even bother to buy a measly $15 saltwater fishing license. More bad news for Mr. Chen came when the agents confiscated all 466 of his fish and donated them to a local charity. Plus, he got a total maximum fine of restitution. He'll be looking at $4,793 and up to 120 days in jail. Using the Goldilocks rule, is that too little, too much, or just right punishment? Love to hear from you. He got caught for all that, possessing over 50 speckled trout, every one of them undersized. Even though he had 401 white trout, caught them all without a license. If you were the judge, what would you award to 56-year-old Gwen Chen of Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Text me the total cash amount and any jail time you would hand down. If you be the judge or a juror, you can do that on our text line at 504-260-1870. And I want you to consider as a mitigating circumstance, does his display of greed enter in your decision for the punishment? All right, we'll be back to check that out. Also, we're going to try to make contact with Ryan Lambert. He is down in Mexico at Nolejase. If we can't get him, we got a backup report from the Cajun Fishing Adventures in Buras. That's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Now, we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to get our plastic man on because he's down at Nolejase in Mexico, but we did manage to get him, and we had Captain Todd as backup, so we decided two is better than one, and we got them both on. Good morning, Ryan, and good morning, Todd.
Good morning. How's everything, guys?
Well, first of all, let's get the Dove report from Nolejase down in Mexico. What's going on down there, Ryan?
Very good, very good. You know, it's an opening weekend, so tons and tons of doves. And it's fresh. It's got a lot of clouds right now, too, so the breeze is not hot. It's pretty nice hunt.
What kind of doves are y'all getting down there? Is it mostly white wings, or they're mornings, or they're the Eurasians, or all of them?
This time of year, well, you have all of them. You have turtle doves. Right now, it's white wing season, and then later on, the local doves will start coming in. So right now, it's just mostly white wings with a few regular morning doves mixed in, but not many.
To give people an idea of what the action's like down there,
October into the south of Nicaragua. They're in the Buras. They have a bunch of them that took that wrong turn. They end up the Buras in December.
Yeah, you hunt them wherever they are, near or far. Ryan, to give people an idea, how many shells does the typical hunter go through on a day's dove hunt there?
Well, you're limited right now to 15 boxes a hunt. So you have five hunts. So, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I walked into the showroom the other day, and the cases were stacked high in my head. 25 feet.
Yeah, there's a lot of sore shoulders there. Well, we got your buddy back at the mothership on with us. Todd, tell us about the fishing down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. What's it been like last couple days, and what's it look like for today?
It looks really calm this morning, which is a blessing since I'm going on the beach to go bull red fishing. So hopefully we can get some big ones and put some smiles on some faces.
Well, we got almost a 2-foot range of tide. How are y'all going to fish him? I know Ryan's, you know, he's the plastic guy, okay?
We're going to do the same. Yeah, we'll plastic under popping cork just to attract them.
There you go, Ryan, and you're honored. They're going to use plastic instead of dead shrimp. How about that?
Oh, yeah. The bull red's on a cork. I mean, you can't beat that. But the red is falling, it's down to 3.5, and it's going to fall another foot this week. So this game on, the fish are just pulling in toward the river.
Yeah, I don't know if you got word, but the saltwater wedge is on the move. It was at Boothville last I heard.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. They moved out. It's going down to 2 feet.
Todd, which direction are y'all going for those bulls?
We're going on the west side this morning. We're launching. I'm actually just leaving Joshua as we're going on the west. I'll probably go north a little bit towards Grand Isle and get on the beach and look around for slicks.
Supposed to be light winds, I think, out of the southeast or possibly southwest. What are y'all getting right now?
We don't have any wind right now. It's flat calm. I saw when it is going to pick up later, I saw east, but it's still less than 5, so it should be a gorgeous day.
Yeah, boy, sure could use a little breeze or cloud cover on these hot days, or that would be nice. Maybe y'all can get it done early and get back to the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge and have a good lunch quick.
jump in that swimming pool.
Ryan, how hot is it down in Mexico?
It's 26 degrees right now.
Centigrade.
Yeah. It's around 90. It's not too bad. And then when the clouds come, there's a nice fresh breeze because the humidity is low. So it feels really good. You know, at home, the wind's really hot, but if the clouds come, it gets nice and fresh. So it's been like that the last 3 years down here. It's been an enjoyable hunt.
Might have to go to Mexico to cool off. Todd, if you guys are going for the bulls today, if somebody wanted to go for trout, what would be your advice?
Right now for trout, I think on the outside, like by the rig in Breton Sound, today would be a good day for it. But the west side, there's probably birds flying around all over the place also. They've been working, you know. So if you like to chase trout on the birds, we don't really like to do that. We'd rather sit on the reef and target them, the better quality fish.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, guys. Well, sound like you got your days all planned out. And, Ryan, when are you coming back in town?
Tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow.
Man, you jump around like...
I'll be right back on the fish on Monday.
Yeah.
There's a hummer there, huh?
Yes, indeed. And you guys getting ready for gator season?
Yeah, we're ready. We got 24 tags to fill, so... we're ready. I mean, there's gators everywhere, as you know. So we'll just go tag eyes and make some happy customers, and everything will be great.
Todd, do you get in on that gator activity, or are you strictly a fisherman?
No. I mean, I can go ride with them every now and then, but I'm good with the fish on the deck of my boat, not gators.
I understand. All right, guys, if somebody wants to get in touch with y'all, and let's see, we got teal season coming up. We got the bull redfish working. You got speckled trout. You got a low river with the river dropping and salt water coming in with some good clean water. And gator season, all that activity going on at the Cajun Fishing Adventures. Tell them how to get you, Ryan, and find out more about it.
Go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me tomorrow at 504-559-5111.
All right, gentlemen. Yes, indeed. All right, gentlemen. Thank you, Todd. Good hearing from you. Have a great day, and we'll catch up with you guys later.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, there they go. Captain Todd Seither and our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. Check out their website. They got a good one. All right, coming back after this, we're going to put a wrap on it, get to some of your text messages, and tell you what might be coming up on next week's show. Stick around. We'll be right back after this with The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, catching up on our audience text messages. This one says, please let Sam Hopper know there's a lot of confusion when signing up for the Star Rodeo. It allows you to sign up for the rodeo, but does not require you to sign up for CCA at the time, but it is required that you are a CCA member in order to be eligible for the Star Rodeo. Yes, I'm sure Sam is aware of that. I didn't think that it was possible, and in the past it wasn't, and I'm sure they're going to rectify that for next year where it will only let you sign up if you are a member, because unfortunately some people bought tickets but weren't members and disqualified their tagged redfish catches. All right, I think we have solved the issue of where Flatboat Reef is. Here's one that says, Flatboat Reef is a natural reef east of Isle of Pete near the old Wildlife and Fisheries Camp Island. And that's the one that Captain Mike Gallo joined. It also goes by the name of Flatboat Key, so there's a little bit of confusion there, but that's the spot. All right, we got Gator Boy checking in from Baton Rouge. Good luck to the castaway competitors out there on the west. He also says, Don, I'm seeing your ducks, the teal, moving around this morning, too. That's good news. All right, we asked you about our bad boy. What would you, if you were on the jury or the judge, give Gui Chen? Guy went out with a cast net, 466 fish. All of his speckled trout were under the 13-inch legal size. Of course, there's no size limit on white trout, but you do need a license for them. So they were all illegal, all confiscated. $4,793 maximum fine and restitution, up to 120 days in jail. Is that too little, too much, or just right? What would you do? And, you know, you got to wonder, this probably wasn't the first time this guy did that, and he's probably not the only one doing it. So what impact does that have to us who are out there handling 12-inch trout with kid gloves, making sure the pelicans and the dolphins don't get them, and you remove the hooks gently, and you don't take the slime off of them, and taking all these pains to release them? And here's a guy just with a cast net slaughtering them. And what was he doing with them? That would be the next question. All right, here's what some of you are saying. $10,000 fine and 6 months in jail. Whew, that's tough. Here's one says, what if he wanted to get caught just so a charity can receive them? I don't think he's looking at the fine and making a donation to a charity. That's for sure. All right, here's one that says, there isn't enough room in jails for the violent criminals. Your bad boy needs an alternate punishment. I'd make him listen to Kamala Harris discuss complex topics on a continuous loop for a week. I'd rather be in Alcatraz. He might go for the death penalty instead. Oh, you got to have fun with this stuff, huh? Okay, here's one says, I do believe the gentleman would do 466 days of community service, and $10 per fish seems about right for the fine. That's from Old Man Sam. All right, we're hearing from Big Mike this morning. We're also hearing from the Mad Trucker. He's out there on the road, highways, listening to us. And I got an RIP, Ed Daniels. If you haven't heard, Ed Daniels, longtime sports broadcaster for WGNO Television in New Orleans and many other stations before that, passed away. Unfortunately, Ed suffered a massive heart attack while he was covering the Saints in California, and he succumbed yesterday. I worked with Ed on several programs before they got their ABC affiliation, where I started doing weekly fish and game reports. I worked with him on a program called Saints Sideline, where we took Saints athletes out on fishing and hunting trips. We also had a program called Hometown Sports Page, which Ed hosted, and I did features. I was a contributor, and I'd sit in on the set. And one of the funniest Ed Daniels moments I remember, I had just completed doing a snake-catching feature in Manshack. We were out there grabbing snakes and putting them in the sack with the family that had the Kleber, that had the turtle farm out in Ponchatoula. And we went out and caught a bunch of snakes. And as a nice surprise for Ed, one of them was a huge gray rat snake. And I bundled up and put it in my jacket pocket. And when I got on set, right after the feature ran, I told Ed I wanted to make him feel like he was there. So I brought something from the trip and pulled out the snake and kind of passed it over to him. And Ed, being a trooper he was, he didn't get shocked or scared. He just kind of stared it down and said, we're kind of like moving right along. You know, Ed was a very serious and a very talented journalist and a good guy, a fellow Archbishop Rummel Raider, and he will be sadly missed in the Louisiana area covering sports. Ed always called it like it was, is the way I remember it. All right, RIP, Ed Daniels, sportscaster in Louisiana. All right, that's about going to wrap it up for us. I don't know what else I can tell you other than if you've got some fish or game, bring it to one of the collection points today or tomorrow. This is the Clean Out Your Freezer weekend put on by Hunters for the Hungry, a wonderful organization. I will be out there with my friend Janice, who's a tennis expert. She's like one level below Wimbledon in the Olympics, and she's going to give me a little bit of a tennis lesson this morning. We'll see how I can hold up from that. But she's going to be with me tomorrow at Slidell's Rouse's location, the one near Sportsman's headquarters near I-10, closest one there, from 1 to 4. And we'll be set up there with ice chests, and I got some prizes to give away to the donors. But if you're not coming to that one, there's one near you. They're all over the state of Louisiana. Look on cleanoutyourfreezer.com, specific locations, dates, and times where you can make those donations. And we'll be reporting on that in the coming weeks and find out how well we did and also everyone else in the state. I know I can count on you outdoorsmen, some of the most generous people you'll ever meet. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me from our annex here in Alabama, St. Hubert's Cathedral. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, same channel, for the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.